The Holy Gospel according to St. Matthew, chapter 3. In those days, John the Baptist came preaching in the wilderness of Judea, "Repent, for the kingdom of heaven is at hand. For this is he who was spoken of by the prophet Isaiah when he said, 'The voice of one crying in the wilderness, prepare the way of the Lord, make his paths straight.' Now John wore a garment of camel's hair and a leather belt around his waist, and his food was locusts and wild honey. Then Jerusalem and all Judea and all the region around the Jordan were going out to him, and they were baptized by him in the Jordan River, confessing their sins. But when he saw many of the Pharisees and Sadducees coming for baptism, he said to them, 'You brood of vipers, who warned you to flee from the wrath to come? Bear fruit in keeping with repentance. And do not presume to say to yourselves, "We have Abraham as our father," for I tell you, God is able from these stones to raise up children for Abraham. Even now the axe is laid to the root of the trees. Every tree, therefore, that does not bear good fruit is cut down and thrown into the fire. I baptize you with water for repentance, but he who is coming after me is mightier than I, whose sandals I am not worthy to carry. He will baptize you with the Holy Spirit and with fire. His winnowing fork is in his hand, and he will clear his threshing floor and gather his wheat into the barn, but the chaff he will burn with unquenchable fire.'" Please be seated. In the name of Jesus, amen. I don't know about you, but as I drive around North Texas, I can certainly tell that we're living in a very religious area of the state. I mean, depending on how I get here, I can drive by a couple of Mormon churches. I'm well within distance of a temple, a mosque, and there's a mosque just down the road from our church building on Independence. Not only that, but about anything you want in a Christian flavor or tradition is pretty close at hand. So you can have religion any way you want religion. You can have a little bit of religion. You can have a lot of religion. I talked with someone the other day, and he said, "I don't care what you believe. You can believe anything you want." He was talking to a group of us, and I found myself thinking, gosh, his religion is to not believe in anything. And I thought to myself, how sad. But there's plenty of religion that can solve all that. How's your religion going these days anyway? You know, some people say, "Well, I've been a Lutheran for a long time. I come from all kinds of Lutherans." Well, that's great religion. But should it be? Should it be? Well, it's not just now. It was even back in John the Baptizer's day when he showed up on the scene. There were plenty of religions in his day too. You could have religion in a lot of different ways, just according to your tastes. Maybe it wasn't quite the marketing production as it is now in North Texas as elsewhere. But there were plenty of religions to choose from in John's day. You could have religion any way you want it, just like today. But God sent John, the crazy preacher in the wilderness, not going with all the norms of the day, not following all the orders, but sent by God to call people to repent and confess. Now, that's a different kind of religion. That's a different way of thinking about it. And people were crossing all kinds of denominational boundaries. They were coming from all kinds of places in Judea, coming out to the crazy guy in the wilderness, being baptized, confessing their sins. And God sends John to us today to do the same, to help us understand what it's all about. It's not a consumable good. It's not just another topic, hobby, something if you get around to, you do. Rather, it's a way of life. It's a way of living. It's a relationship with God. It's a life of repentance and confession. Certainly, what John was calling everybody else to do, he was doing himself. And in this little section of Matthew's gospel, we hear John speaking truth about the dangers of religion, even warning the stern proud of themselves for their traditions to beware of what they are doing. Some people get so comfortable with their church membership, they hardly think about it. They hardly involve themselves in it. They have just been Lutherans all their life. What are we taking our pride in? Is it our religious theology? Are we forgetting that all of our theology as Lutherans is to point us to a relationship with Jesus? Or are we proud of ourselves, like the Pharisees were so long ago? Does that make us just a brood of vipers? No, the message is repent, for the kingdom of heaven is at hand. Repent of your thoughts, words, and actions. What you've done, what you've left undone, you're supposed to do. Repent. Take no stock in yourself. Give up on yourself. Give up on your religion. Give up on your pride. Give up on your self-focus and reform your ways by confessing your failures and changing your ways with good fruit that shows you're repentant. Change some of the ways that you are doing things in your marriage, in your parenting, in your grandparenting, in your relationship with your neighbors. Perhaps you're not even praying for any of your neighbors. Start praying for them. Show some repentance. That's the message. That's what saves us from all the religion of this world, including Lutheranism, where we're taking stock in the fact that we're Lutherans. How did John say it to the Pharisees? He said, "You brood of vipers, who warned you to flee from the wrath to come? And do not presume to say yourself, 'We have Luther as our father,' or 'I grew up in a Lutheran home.' For I tell you, God is able from these stones," these are the Gentiles, you know, they're hardly worth calling people, "from these stones, God can raise up children of Abraham." So there's going to be plenty of Gentiles that are going to be saved. And John is simply saying to the religious elite, the religious self-righteous, that God wants to save them too, if they can just get over themselves in trusting in themselves and actually living a life of repentance instead, confessing failure and amending ways, but then also confessing in the one in John's day to come, did come, and has carried out his job description, and is carrying out his job description. That's the one we are to trust in. That's the one we are to take comfort in, and not ourselves and what we have in mind and money and muscle and everything else. And that's what John was doing. His humble word, "I baptize you with water, but he who is coming after me is mightier than I, whose sandals I'm not worthy to carry. He will baptize you with the Holy Spirit with fire. His winnowing fork is in his hand, and he will clear his threshing floor and gather his wheat into the barn. But the chaff he will burn with unquenchable fire. Consume all my religion, Lord Jesus. Consume all of our religion, Lord, that in its place we may live in repentance and confession. Repenting of all the ways that we fall short, and we do, and confessing that we have someone at work within us. That ministry description of Jesus is so beautiful. Here's what he has chosen to do in your life and my life. He will have the spirit of wisdom and understanding, the spirit of counsel and might, the spirit of knowledge and the fear of the Lord. With righteousness he shall judge the poor and decide with equity for the meek of the earth. He shall strike the earth with the rod of his mouth, that's his word, and with the breath of his lips he will kill the wicked. Righteousness shall be the belt of his waist and faithfulness the belt of his loins. And that's exactly what Jesus did. But the difference is huge. The wolf shall dwell with the lamb. That's not the way it works in Wyoming. The wolf eats the lamb and maybe leaves a few of the earlobes and maybe a hoof. It's amazing what wolves can digest. But it's not about wildlife management. It's about people. Learning to live differently with each other. Learning to put aside their differences. Learning to focus on what God would have us focus on. Being safe from all the ways that we can spiritually be threatened into temptation and sin and perish. In Christ, He'll keep us safe. This is his work, and it might be almost altruistic and beyond us to grasp all these things. A nursing child shall play over the hole of a cobra, and the weaned child shall put his hand over the adder's den. But again, it's not about children and spiders. It's not about snakes. It's about the safety we'll have when that little shoot out of the stump of Jesse, David's dad, comes. And he did, and he has. And by his perfect life, fulfilling all religious requirements, and by his sacrificial death, you and I have been saved from religion. We have been rescued from all the ways we think we can do religion and understand that it has been done for us by Christ so that we can live in repentance and confession. To change our ways, knowing that that's the way to live, and then trust in what God has done and is doing through his Son. This is the message John would have us heed. This is what saves us from all the religion that is filling North Texas, so that we walk differently, looking to the one who has rescued us with God's love. You know that song we sang, O Little Town of Bethlehem, Philip Brooks, one of the stanzas goes this way, and it's our prayer as well as it was his. O Holy Child of Bethlehem, descend to us, we pray. Cast out our sin and enter in. Be born in us today. That's my prayer for my life every day. To live looking at the one who's ministering to me, who's rescuing me, who's not afraid to carry out his mission and his ministry. And the same for you. Trust and confess your faith in the one who is carrying out his mission. How many ways has Jesus rescued you and you're not the wiser for it? You've just been delivered. How many ways has he and you know it and are thankful for it? And how many ways is he caring for you so that you can care for others, ministering to you day in and day out so that you in turn can bear fruit of repentance? You know, repentance means to rethink, to understand the dangers of trusting in yourself or trusting in what you can do or trusting in what you can buy or trusting in what you can think. Do you all repent of trusting in yourselves. Amen? Good. So confess your faith in what God has done through his Son, who is caring for us. And live out your identity as those who repent and confess and follow the Lord, living out in his will and ways, confessing in the one who is at work in your life. This is a beautiful picture in Isaiah. It's almost too good to be true. But this is what is happening in your life and my life. We are being tamed. We are being delivered. We are being brought into a fellowship of believers that are very different from one another. And yet, we can live in the love that God has for us through his Son. And this fellowship is huge. It consists of all those across North Texas who are giving up on religion, repenting and confessing and amending their ways to follow repentance and putting their trust, not in what they do or what they've done, or no matter how long they've been a Lutheran, but rather putting their trust in the one who's at work within them. The cool thing about this text is that you are the proof of this work of Jesus among us, living out your life, trusting in him. In the name of Jesus, amen. Now may the peace of God, the peace that goes beyond all that we understand, may that peace from God guard and keep your hearts and minds in Christ Jesus.